Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. It's time for Cub Chat Live. Jason, before we even get started, shout out to Scouter Mrs. Edens, who commented 8 minutes before we went live. That's what we like to see. Rusty B, you were only 7 minutes before we went live. We'll allow it. Scouter Craig was right on time from Pack 3256 in Kent, Ohio. Hey, Tamara, good to see you as well. Jason is, I think this is his third time on the show with us. I told him he gets the B team today because it's me and not Gina. That's fine. Jason, how are you, sir?
I'm good. So the early bird gets the worm, right? I appreciate folks being here a little early, just like Absolutely. In scouting. We want to be early for that meeting, early for Cub Chat Live.
That's exactly right, Jason. I agree. And our topic today, this is an interesting topic. Our Cub Scout volunteer national team always comes up with interesting topics. Today is no different. The topic is welcoming new families. And I think to some folks that might seem, well, yeah, welcome new families. I mean, that's what you do, right? But this is a thing. I mean, this is something that requires some a little forethought and planning. Jason, before we get started into the details of our conversation, why is welcoming new families important? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so it's the beginning of the Cub Scout year, or rapidly approaching it, right? We're getting back to school and we're getting back into the swing of doing Cub Scouting. And so fall recruitment starts like today. And it is super important for every unit, you know, whether you are a big pack or a small pack, you need new families to keep your unit alive. And welcoming new families is so very important, not just because you want them to start out right, but you want to get them engaged and keep them engaged.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And you know, probably something that we don't really think about when someone joins Cub Scouting, they might not have any idea what they're getting into. And it's really important that we get them off on the right foot, make them feel welcome. Most importantly, let them know that, you know, they are surrounded by a nurturing, strong group of other parents who, you know, have got things somewhat under control. We're going to talk about different ways to do that and more specifically why that's important. Shout out to Christine from Bossier City. Good to see you. Aaron from PAC 3130 in Greenville. Right, recruiting at our town's Danish festival right now. Awesome. Yeah, recruiting
awesome.
Season. It is here. Hey, Dawn. Hey, Rob. Good to see you. What's up, Eddie, Tina, Richard? Good to see all of you guys. Justin says, happy fall recruiting time. Exactly. I love it.
Always be recruiting.
Yes, exactly. We're in the mood today. Exactly right. Jason, let's get into this now. Welcoming new families. This is important. And one of the reasons why it's important, I mean, it can make the difference between families who stick around or don't stick around. What do we know about that?
Yeah. So one of the things we love on the National Cub Scout Committee is studies and metrics and numbers, right? Yeah. Like we're not just going on gut feeling. We are asking families and leaders their opinions on the program. And one of the things we did last year is asked families that actually left Cub Scouting why, so that we have this good data to kind of help us make a decision on, you know, how do we make it better? Where are our gaps and where can we improve? And so, like, one of the things this study found is that the families who are, it's a weird way to say it, the least satisfied families and most likely to leave are going to be your lions, your tigers, and your wolves. So your youngest scouts are the ones who their families most likely to be dissatisfied. And so that's a kind of a focus area for your pack, right? Like those kids, once you get them hooked, they're in. Like kids, once they're in the program for a couple of years, tend to stick around all the way through Scouts BSA, which is exactly what we want. And so in that study, 55% of the families last year that left scouting had only been in Cub Scouts for 1 year or less. So those are these brand new families that we're talking about today, the ones we need to welcome and really make them feel like part of our unit so that they stay. They're not going somewhere else. And so the numbers, like the two big numbers that really were kind of surprising in the study is 20.3%. This is the biggest response, was boring or non-existent program activities. And I just like, there's so much fun to be had in Cub Scouts. I don't understand. I don't understand how that's a thing. And then 14.2% said that their unit had disorganized leadership. And I can believe it. I'm super disorganized. I live by a calendar or I don't remember anything.
Yep.
Me too. Yeah, right. Like if it's not on my calendar, it didn't happen and it doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
And so poor communication is part of that disorganized leadership. And it's in a different part of the survey. That's a call out parents gave, is that poor communication really kind of hurt their experience. And so there is this great resource that I actually learned about today. I didn't know about it. It's in the BSA Brand Center, and it's this great PDF called Welcome, New Cub Scout Family. And so if you navigate to the BSA Brand Center and click on Cub Scouts, there'll be a little folder called Onboarding Resources. This is in there. And helping communicate, the very last page of this PDF is probably the best part of it, right? It gives you a place for that family to put down all the information that they need, as well as contact info for their den leader, your unit's committee chair, and your cub master. So those people that they really should be communicating with.
I want to give a quick shout out to Nicholas, who I think has a very fair comment. Nicholas says he thinks that the disconnect comes from lack of leadership support. Nicholas, I think that's a fair comment. I think you're probably referring to maybe your local council. Maybe you're talking about national, and that's totally fair. That's kind of why we do Cub Chat Live. And that's why we have this show today. And that's why we are trying to support our leaders by providing resources like this. So Nicholas, I appreciate the comment very much. Feel free to tag some friend of yours if you know some Cub Scout leaders who feel like they aren't getting the support they need. Make sure they know about Cub Chat Live. Some people, Jason, believe it or not, don't know about Cub Chat Live. So we do want people to know about that. But I want to go back. Yeah, 55% of the families that leave had been in for Cub Scouts 1 year or less. So like you said, if we can get them through the first couple of years, they're in. But they're in. If not, you lose them, they're probably never coming back, right? I mean, that's probably it. Yeah, you probably get your one shot. And the main reason we lose folks is because, to put it in many other ways, maybe they don't feel welcome. It's not as organized as we'd like it to be. They don't know who their den leader is. They don't know who their cub master is. They don't know where they meet. They don't know what their Cub Scout pack is going to be doing over the next 9 months. They might turn in their credit card information online because you can sign up online these days, and then they don't ever hear anything again. So it seems like kind of an easy to fix issue. And we are here today, Nicholas, to try to support our volunteers and let them know different ways they can make that happen. You mentioned the Brand Center. Shout out to our friends at the Brand Center. And I know we're going to talk about this later. We're going to do a whole show next week, Jason, on the Brand Center. Be sure and tune into Cub Chat Live next Friday. The Brand Center is your choice for many, many resources, including this PDF on welcoming new Cub Scout families that you can download. You can share it electronically. If you want to print it, you can print it. And you can also, yeah, that page there, you can customize it to make sure your families know very, very basic things like what is your pack number? What is your Cub Master's name and email address or phone number? What is a den? When does my den meet? All these things like that. One of the things that really can make Cub Scout packs go is adult involvement, leadership. And there's lots of sort of leadership positions. Everybody knows Cub Master. Everybody knows den leader. But the idea of a new member coordinator, this is a really interesting concept. This is, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, a relatively recent kind of thing that we've been promoting because I think we realize this is an issue. Let's talk about a new member coordinator. What does that mean? What do they do? Who can make a good new member coordinator?
Yeah, so before we move to new member coordinator, Nicholas clarified it's about getting his lack of leadership support is about getting parents involved. And we're going to talk about that. It's coming.
Okay, thank you, Nicholas. Thank you for that clarification. Yes. And Cub Scout Live is weekly. Yes, Nicholas. We're here every Friday.
Every Friday. So new member coordinator is a relatively recent position to scouting, but it is a great opportunity if you have a really outgoing parent in your unit. And not every unit's going to have it. My unit has very small leadership. And so I am the new member coordinator, but I'm the cub master too. And so sometimes you wear many hats and sometimes you get a parent to wear the hat. But their job is to welcome these new families. And not every pack's going to have it. And that's okay. That's okay. As long as somebody's doing this job, it doesn't matter if it's a second hat that they're wearing or if everybody's involved in welcoming new families. But your job is to help build relationships with these new members and their families. And there's training online to help kind of teach you how to do this. But this is great for an outgoing person. You don't want somebody who is really timid and doesn't want to meet new people, because you want those families to feel engaged, to feel like they have a friend in your unit the first time they walk in the door. And so that QR code will take you to the training center, directly to the new member coordinator training, and the text for it's below.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So let's talk about that just a little bit more. I love that there is training online for the new member coordinator position. Like you said, Jason, in some Cub Scout packs, we wear lots of hats. The Cub Master may be the new member coordinator, but it doesn't have to be. That, and this is a great job for someone. I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, the new member coordinator is mostly busy during the fall months. You know, we hope that there's new families coming in year round, but for the most part, am I right about that? That it's maybe good for someone who's willing to commit August, September, and October, and then it probably lightens off a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's not a full-time job like being the Cub Master, the committee chair, or a den leader. Like, this is a really seasonal job, and it's a little ask, right? Like, it's not, there are some smaller asks we can make of parents that step up and help us, but this is something small and something very contained, right? It's not open-ended, like, hey, I need you to help out every week. When we get new families, just make sure they feel welcome, make sure they get a copy of the calendar, that they get in, you know, our communication platform of choice, be it, you know, Band, Slack, whatever your pack chooses to use.
Right.
And then you're done. It's just like putting together blue and gold. That only takes a little time commitment, smaller than little, a time commitment, but you're done.
It's you're not asking someone to take on a year-round part-time job. You and I kind of mentioned this earlier. If you just sort of put out a general call for help, people might be hesitant. People might not really know what they're getting into. But if you say, hey, we need somebody for the next 3 months to just take some time to make sure all of our new families are accounted for and that we have all their contact information and that they've got everything they need, right? But anybody gets 3 months. Anybody can do that.
And yeah, it's easy.
Right. Certainly, maybe be available throughout the year as new families join, but that's obviously the busy time. So Nicholas talking about, you know, getting support from other parents, there's probably tip number one right there, right? It's okay to hand off little jobs. Every parent job doesn't have to be a year-round major time commitment. Some folks, for whatever reason, may be much more likely to accept a position that's just 3 months or so out of the year. Kind of along these lines, Jason, one of the things that changed my life back when I was a Cub Scout leader, and I wish I had had Cub Chat Live, by the way, back then. I didn't have Cub Chat Live as a resource back then, but we had one volunteer whose job was, we didn't have Lions back then, so it was all new Tigers. And, you know, it's interesting that the data shows that most of the Scouts that quit, I'm going to scroll back up here, Lion, Tigers, and Wolves, are younger kids, probably. Not a coincidence. Those are a lot of dens that are forming for the first time. And that's a tricky time, right? When you're putting together a den from scratch. We had a dedicated tiger den coordinator, and her job was every August and September, get that tiger den organized, hold the first two or three den meetings. So you're not slamming somebody, you know, from the very beginning. Hey, congratulations. Thanks for joining. You're our new tiger den leader, right? You can ease them into it a little bit. That was life-changing for our pack. And I think the new member, the new family coordinator, kind of along those same lines, right? You know, take that off of someone else's plate. They only have to do it for a few months. What a great idea. One of the other things that you mentioned, Jason, was communicating the right things to our new members. What are some of the things that we need to make sure they know about? They're going to have questions, right?
Yeah. So
we need to make sure they feel comfortable with.
Yeah. They're going to have tons of questions, right? For most units and most parents aren't that pro Eagle Scout who, like, this is their kid. They know scouting. They've done it. They're coming in and, like, they're your next Cub Master. That's not 99% of the families. Most of them, they don't know anything about Cub Scouts other than the flyer that came home from school or the yard sign they saw or the YouTube ad or whatever it is. But their knowledge of the program is so small, and they're coming in just blind. And we have to hold their hands as leaders, right? We have to help walk them through what they need and when to show up and what we're doing and what we're about. And so, like, one of the things I really like to do, and this will be available afterwards. So this is my PAC's calendar. I just finished this today, and it's still missing a couple things, but I've been making one of these since I was a den leader. I printed on cardstock. I hand it to every single parent and I tell them, put this on your fridge. Hey, there it is. And then I've got a second page that it breaks it all down, right? Like this is, as a den leader, my den leader section was huge. It was, this is what they were working on, this adventure and these requirements. And so that way it was really, really easy for these families to look at this calendar and go, cool. Well, looks like there's a school holiday on November 26th and we're not meeting on the 25th. And it looks like we're out these 2 weeks in December. And so it makes it just simple. They hang it up on their fridge and it's, they see it every day. And it makes it so easy to know, like, do we have a meeting tonight? Do we not have a meeting tonight? Do I show up? Is there a camp out? Like, when's this camp out? It's all on there. And another really important thing is don't be afraid to leverage your council and district activities, right? That number one complaint was lack of activities.
Yep.
And your council, most councils, 90% of the councils are doing that for you, right? Like our council does a great job of having a couple of Cub events spread out throughout the year. And those are always on my unit calendar. Like even if we do campouts outside of that, those are options, right? Like if you can't make our PAC campout, please go to the Halloween themed campout that they do every year. Do the one in the spring. Like do something. Let's put the out in scouting.
Yeah. When you make your own PAC calendar, I always advise everybody, make sure you look at the council calendar as well. Put those up on your screen side by side. You know, like you said, every council is different. Every district is different. But for the most part, you could put together an outdoor program with that council calendar. Take advantage of those events. You know, they've organized it. They're providing the program. You just have to recruit kids and get them to show up and, of course, supervise as appropriate during the weekend, but a lot different than planning something from scratch. So take advantage of those resources. Hey, you know, if you're a Cub Scout pack, if you guys love planning stuff from scratch, that's great. Keep doing that. But some packs would love to have, oh, there's a district camporee right in the middle of October. That's perfect for us. You know, I'd love to go. Yeah. And they have a theme chosen or whatever. You just, you know, put together a contingent, send them out there. Yeah, that's great, Jason. Very, very helpful. And you and I mentioned this before. Just having a PAC calendar communicates to your PAC that you guys have got it together somewhat, right? If you have a PAC calendar that covers 9 months, exactly. I mean, things are going to change and that's okay, right? I mean, obviously plans are going to change. As long as you keep everybody posted, that's okay. But the fact that you have a calendar that stretches out over the next, whatever it is, the entire school year, I think is what Jason does. That seems ideal to me, right? All the way into the next May with your basic look of, you know, when you're going to meet, when your dens are going to meet, when you have your campouts planned, these new families are going to be like, wow, these folks have it together. Even though Jason might not feel like he has it together. It certainly looks like he does.
Yeah. And so Rob on Facebook, Rob Grote had asked, do you have a template for that calendar? Absolutely. So that's going to be part of the files afterwards. And so like, this is my calendar. I've been using this since I was a lion leader. I made this 1,000 years ago back when, you know, bear bison roamed the plain. It'll be out there for you guys. So if you like it, please feel free to steal and use it.
Yep. Absolutely. What else, Jason? What else do we need to communicate to families who are just joining Scouting? They've never been a member before. What do we need to let them know when they first sign up?
Yeah. So the uniform, right? Like it is iconic, and it like I'm not gonna lie, I like my Scout uniform. I've got three of them with different patches on all of them for different occasions. But a new family doesn't know what they need, and I don't have a good handout for this because mine is just a spreadsheet that I send to parents. But I have a spreadsheet that breaks down exactly what they need and the link to the online Scout Shop where they can buy it. If they like, maybe the Scout Shop's 2 hours away from them and it's just easier to order online. I'll tell them exactly what unit numbers they need, which yep. Our unit actually provides you with the numbers, so they don't have to buy those. But if you don't, it's good to tell them, hey, you need our unit number is 1, 2, 3. You need a 1, a 2, and a 3. They have a red background. Here's the link to buy them. You need a blue shirt. You need a belt. That's it. Right. Maybe you have a council patch. Most councils put them on for you at the shop. And, you know, dead numbers are great, but optional. Some units use them, some don't. Some units like the neckerchief, some don't. And so it's good to tell them exactly what your unit tends to go towards on uniform and what they should purchase. But it's also good to give them the optional items. Like the hat's always kind of optional. I buy them. Not everybody does. the scout pants are optional, right? Some units, they only wear jeans.
Yep.
And that's okay. But it's about telling them kind of what to go get, right? They're going to walk into that scout shop and they're not going to know anything. And the people in the scout shop are going to sell them a whole uniform. They're going to sell them everything.
I was just going to say, some of the most helpful people in scouting are the people who work at a scout shop. So they 100% can answer your questions. Having said that, they don't know your pack's policy and rules and what you are suggesting or requiring or things like that. As you said, Jason, they'll tell them head to toe uniform. And that's great if that's what those families want to do. But you might want to communicate to those families, in our pack, this item's optional, this item's optional, socks. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, all the stuff you can get, you know, so and packs are allowed to make the decisions that is best for that pack for those families. So there's some flexibility there. So yeah, that is definitely good to know. Uniform, what else? I guess handbooks, probably things like that, right? What other things like that you might need to buy from Scout Shop, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's good to just tell them exactly what to go get and to take the guesswork out of it. You make it almost idiot proof. If they want to buy online, they just click the links and add it to their cart. If they're going to the Scout Shop, just print it out and say, hey, I need these things. Can you help?
Right. Jason mentioned earlier, and I agree, I think at my core, I'm not the most organized person. So when I was a Cub Master, I had to work to be organized. I made a calendar and I made myself stick to that calendar. The folks in our chat are so smart. They're already talking about something called the Program Planning Conference. They're ahead of us. Tamara put up a link to our archive. I'm going to ask behind the scenes Brian, put him on the spot. He will throw. We have done shows on planning conferences before, but Jason, maybe you can just give the folks a real quick overview. What does that mean? What are we talking about? And what's the value in doing that?
Yeah. So your program planning conference is a great opportunity to sit down as a unit. And my unit did ours actually on 4th of July. We had a barbecue at my house. And so we sat down with, you know, and my unit's small, so we didn't have quite as many people, but it's a good opportunity to invite your committee chair, your den leaders, and parents. And you sit down and you're making this, you're making your calendar, you're picking, hey, you know what, where can we do this camp out? Where do we want to go? Who can we put that on the calendar now? Can we make sure people are going to be there? It's your chance to build your program for the year. It's your chance to figure out, like, hey, where's our blue and gold going to be? Are we doing Scout Sunday on Scout Sunday? Does our unit do it? Can we not do that because there's something else going on? Where are the school holidays? And it helps you figure everything out for your unit so that you are ready for the program year, but not just the program year, you're ready to recruit, right? If I sit down with at a join scouting night at a school and it's like, hey, come join our unit. We do all these cool things and I can't tell you what the cool things are. Are we really doing cool things?
Yep.
But if I can hand you this as a brand new parent that's interested in joining our unit and say, hey, look, this is what we have planned. On, you know, September 19th through September 21st, we're going to do a camp out at the Oceana Air Show in Norfolk, Virginia. We go down there, we participate in the air show, we help them do this. Like, if you can spell out exactly what you're doing, they're more likely to get excited to join your unit and do these things with you.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. Yeah, like you said, one of the issues we've run into over the years with Cub Scouting in general is that we have recruiting nights and we talk about, oh, we're going to take the kids fishing, we're going to take the kids camping. Well, once the school starts, then you got to deliver those promises. So it's really helpful to have that calendar planned out where you could say, we're going to this location. Oh, by the way, they have a pond there and you're allowed to go fishing there. When it comes to creating that calendar, Jason, I was just curious to know about your PAC's process. Do you take the lead on that? You know, you're starting from kind of an empty slate every year. Is the Cub Master responsible for putting that together? What are your thoughts on actually creating that calendar?
So as Cub Master, you're responsible for the program. You own the program. Like, it's your job to make sure we're delivering on the promises that we've made to say, hey, we're going fishing. We're going to go shoot BB guns and bows and arrows, that we're going to do the things we say. But your committee chair is there to support you. And so, like, the two of you as a partnership own this process. And, like, we sat down and we made, I don't have our rough calendar. We printed out a month by month calendar and we wrote down everything that happened in the school, everything that our OA lodge was doing, because all the adult leadership in our units really involved in the OA too. We also put down all the stuff that the troop was doing because we have a lot of dual registered leadership, so that we made sure that, like, hey, that camp out stomping on top of the troops camp out, we can't actually do that because I'm not going to have enough leaders. And if you have that partnership with your troop, it's important to find out ahead of time when their stuff's on the calendar so that you can deconflict it and have all the adults you need to run these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Work with your local Scouts BSA troop, work with your local OA lodge, work with your local district, your local council. They are all there to support you. And believe me, they want to know what you guys are doing. They want to help because they win when your Cub Scout pack is thriving and growing and being active. They win. We said at the top of the show, one of the main reasons those new families leave is because they're packed, they're dens, their kids aren't really doing anything. It's boring. They're not really doing what they were promised. And all that sort of comes from lack of an organization. You have that calendar down. You have those dates. You've got the program. If you just follow the program, it kind of all takes care of itself. Like we said, once they're in it for a year or two, they're in it for many, many, many years. They may not go on to become an Eagle Scout, but they're in it for many, many, many years. This has been a great discussion, Jason. Before we let you go, just a few more things. The idea of getting parents involved. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Nicholas had a question about that. Your thoughts on that? There's this thing called a parent meeting, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean? What do we mean when we say that? How do we get parents to show up and be involved?
Yeah. So we have two parent meetings scheduled for my unit, and I'll break down why. We have our first pack meeting is just fun and games for the kids. We have some games planned for them, and we sit down and talk to the parents and kind of set expectations for the year, right? Like, we talk about what's on the calendar. We talk about specific support needs ahead of time, right? Like, hey, we're going to need some support setting up Pinewood Derby. We're going to be setting up Pinewood Derby on this day. Put it on your calendar now if you can. This is the day we're going to be doing blue and gold. Would somebody like to help come in a little bit early and help us decorate? Like, to make those specific asks of our existing parents, and maybe we can identify a new member coordinator to help us welcome those new families. And then after we've had our recruitment, we have a second parent meeting where we invite those new parents. And we tend to have it at a PAC meeting so that we're having some program and then the parents go talk with the committee chair.
I love that. Yeah.
And right. That way the kids are doing something and the parents are doing something, and it's totally separate and the kids are still having a good time and they're not sitting there bored. And
this seems like a win-win also, because parents who are trying to find childcare, right? If their kids are in the Cub Scout meeting, they're taken care of, right? So that seems like a win-win overall. But I'm sorry, Jason, go ahead.
No, you're fine. And that's our opportunity to do the same thing with these new parents, to kind of set the expectations like, hey, as a pack, we expect you as a parent to be here. You're participating in our unit with your kid. You're doing this together. We're not the Babysitters of America. You're not dropping them off. If that has to happen, let us know, talk to us. But like, we want you to be part of their scouting journey. And it's also a great opportunity to use something like this to get those new parents involved. So the Den Leader decks that are in the Scout shop now that sold out once, like, it's really easy to make a little ask of somebody. We talked about new member coordinators, a little ask. This is a tiny ask for a new parent. So I say, hey, Jimmy's mom, next week we're going to be working on Bobcat, and I need you to help your den do a code of conduct. I'm going to have some paper, I'm going to have some markers, and I just need you to help facilitate this. Can you just do this one thing? And you know what? If you give somebody a really specific ask with a date, most of the time they're going to say yes. If you go, hey, who can plan the next camp out? You're going to get crickets, but this is just a little bite. It's tiny. It's easy.
And it's probably a good idea in general to, you know, not ask a brand new parent to become a Cub Master right away. I mean, it's probably smart to ease them in a little bit. The card decks, love the card decks. That's one of the best things. The National Cub Scout Committee has done a lot of great things in the last few years. That's one of the coolest things they've done. Jason just held up. It's one little card, and it's got it's one activity, one requirement, I think, right, for one particular adventure. Anybody can do that. Any new parent could put together something like that. It's a win-win for everybody. The kids are having fun. The parents are feeling like they're involved. Maybe they build a little confidence. Maybe next time they take two cards. Who knows? I mean, yeah, you're not overwhelming them right away. You're not scaring them off. I'm going to take, if you're okay, Jason, we got a good question from Mandy about parent talent surveys. I bet you know a thing or two about those. Can you just share your thoughts on parent talent surveys?
Yeah. So the first time as a brand new parent I was ever given one of those, I looked at it and went, "Ugh, they're going to ask me to sign up for something." And I didn't fill it out. But within like 3 months, they knew, because I was already a den leader and like volunteering for all these things. It's a really good thing to do. People are going to balk about doing it. They're going to not want to do it because you're going to sucker them into, they're going to sucker me into doing something, but it's not, right? Like, I'm be really specific in your ask when you have them fill it out. Hey, this is so we can identify people with skills. Like, maybe you would be good to help us drive to the next camp out, right? Do you have a large van or a big truck? Maybe you could help haul some gear. Hey, you're really good at crafting. Maybe you can help us with our Christmas craft. Like, maybe we're doing a holiday craft in December. Would you help facilitate that? We're not going to necessarily ask you to jump in and with both feet and just start swimming. Like, we're just going to, that way we know what skills we have in-house so we can have people help us just a little bit.
Yeah. And I love that. So Amanda, just for the record, let the record show that Jason, when first was asked, declined to fill that survey out. I wouldn't give up on a parent when they declined to fill that out. That doesn't mean they're not going to be willing to help down the road. It just means they're maybe wary of that survey. Look at the guy sitting right next to me and where he is now. So he obviously eventually realized, okay, I can be involved in this. It's going to be fun. It's going to be rewarding. So yeah, I agree. Parent talent surveys, a great tool. Don't get mad or upset if someone just says, you know, someone kind of pushes it and pretends they forgot about it. And don't give up. That doesn't mean that they're saying no forever. It just means they're, you know, they're going to take their time a little bit, dip their toes into the cool water a little bit slower than maybe everybody else. And I think that's totally fine. We got a lot of folks in the comments talking about first meetings being fun events like a rain gutter regatta. I think Rob said they do, to where the kids are really active and having fun. The parents can go off while that's going on and have their own little parent meeting. And you mentioned to me, Jason, that parent meetings don't have to be boring. They can be fun too. How do you make a parent meeting fun?
Yeah. So, and I hate to throw like wood badge in there, but
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, like do some icebreakers with your new parents. Do some get to know you games, right? Like, especially with those new parents. If you have parents that have been in your unit for 3, 4, 5 years, odds are they've got to know each other pretty well. They know names and like some hobbies. They might even hang out outside of scouting.
Right.
And these new parents need a way to kind of break in. And so I really like get to know you bingo. So we did it at a OA event where we got a bingo card that was like, go find the person who graduated from University of Virginia with a law degree. Go find somebody who was valedictorian in their class. Go find somebody who's wearing blue socks. Like, it could be easy, but things you know are going to be there ahead of time. And it's a conversation starter. It gets people just chatting, and it doesn't have to be long. It can be 5 minutes of like, hey, how many of these squares can you fill out in 5 minutes? Go talk to people. Go. And after, we'll stop everybody after 5 minutes and come back in and we'll have the parent meeting. And get to know you bingo is my favorite. I mean, obviously you can't do it every year. You got to mix it up a little, but that is kind of my go-to game.
Yeah, that is awesome. Mandy says, I love the idea of presenting it as a way to find people to help with small tasks. Yeah, rather than asking them to be the next Cub Master when they've just signed up. I agree, Mandy. And you talked about, Jason, a little bit about a community. You know, being a Cub Master was incredibly rewarding and enjoyable for me. One of the best things that came out of it is that I'm still friends with families. I remember meeting them for the first time at our recruiting night. I didn't know them from anybody, and they just showed up, and I didn't know them. They didn't know me. And I'm not going to say how many years ago that was, Jason, but it was a little bit. And, you know, we're still friends to this day because of that. So that is a great idea, you know, creating and fostering a community like that. When we have new parents join, we want to make sure they know that they're welcome members of that community as well. Having a calendar, being somewhat organized, getting the program off on the right start is so important. Before we let you go, Jason, one more question. It doesn't end in September when they join, right? No. Talk a little bit about the importance of kind of reconnecting with that family over what, months?
Over the rest of the whole year. Like, even in the summer, you should be checking in on your families. But it's good to just touch base with them. So if you're the den leader or the Cub Master, the committee chair, it doesn't matter. Somebody should be reaching out just to check in and be like, hey, you missed the last meeting. Is everything okay? Can I help you guys catch up? How are you like as the cup master, hey, how are your den meetings going? I know I'm not in all of your den meetings, but are you having fun? Is there anything we could be doing better? Or is the den leader communicating with you guys well? Like, do you guys have a group chat? Are you on the pack Slack or the pack Discord or the pack group me, whatever it is? Like, is everything good? Are you doing good? And just like, it could be an in-person conversation. You catch him at a pack meeting and go, hey, Bill, how's it going? Yes. Aaron, how are you, man? Like, I know your kid's been here for a couple of months. You guys having fun? Are you coming to the camp out next week?
Yep. Yep. Perfect. Perfect. Just little acts of kindness like that go a long, long way to making families feel welcome. And again, those numbers that we threw out at the beginning of the show, most of the time when families leave, they do it early in their Cub Scouting journey. And it's probably because they get off to a rocky start, right? They just don't ever quite feel welcome. The den doesn't really ever get going. It's not super organized. They've already paid their money and they're like, screw this, I'm out. Quite frankly, I don't blame them. So the way that we fix that is by just communicating, making sure we're organized before the fall season starts. Nicholas says, yeah, that was me, Cub Master in training halfway through Lions. Yeah, Lions wasn't around when I was my son was in the program. Nicholas, it was Tigers, but it was the same way. It was like January of that year. All of a sudden, I was the Cub Master 2 months later. I get it. I've been there. I turned out all right. It worked out okay. But I still kind of wish somebody had given me a card and said, why don't you just do this on the next meeting? I totally think. No trepidation at all would have done that. Yes. Hey, Justin, great point. Make a point to learn everyone's names. It makes them feel much more welcome. Great, great point, Justin. Yes, I love this. Our viewers are always very, very smart, very, very quick. Jason, we've kept you a little bit longer today. I hope that's okay. I hope we didn't make you late for an important meeting. But anything else we want to share to the folks about the importance of welcoming new families?
I think that's it. You guys are going to have better ideas that you can share. And that's what it's about, right? Like, get involved with, if you have these great ideas, get involved with your district. Your district membership team needs you. And you can help other units improve, right? Like, I'm here to try to help you guys be the best unit you can be awesome at recruitment and welcoming families. And you can do that too. And that's really what it's about. It's about building that community and being there to help other people who are going on the same scouting adventure you are, right? Like, my daughter's a Weeblow this year, right? Like, I've been through the rest of the Cub Scout program. And so I want to help people come through this program and have the same success and the same fun and build the same memories that me and my daughter have. And that's what it's all about. And so I thank you now for what you have done, everybody who's watching. So thank you so much for the time you put into scouting and to volunteering and to helping impact these young people's lives. But thank you for what you're going to do in advance to continue to help your units and even beyond if you can.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And I'm going to ask behind the scenes, Brian, throw up that flyer, if you don't mind, Brian, one more time. And remind everybody that flyer is downloadable from the Brand Center, which is kind of important because next week we're going to talk all about, that's right, the Brand Center. We just happen to have a little inside on the person who actually makes that Brand Center happen. Amy is going to join us next week for a discussion with our host. Anthony will be hosting. They will talk all about what the Brand Center can do for you when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to providing assets like the one you're seeing right now. Back when I was Cub Master, we had to make this kind of thing ourselves. I don't think it existed back then, but that's what a valuable resource to have to print out, email to your family. You can customize it. We're going to talk about all of that and more next week. In the meantime, Jason, great job, man. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to come on Cub Chat Live.
We will have you on again in typical Cub Scouting fashion. Once you prove that you're good at something, you just get asked to do it again over and over. So thanks for coming on, Jason. Appreciate it. Thanks to all of you for watching at home. Enjoy your weekend. See you next week, everybody. Bye, Jason. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to catch next week's episode, same time, same place. And let us know how we're doing at go.scoutingmagazine.org/ratecubchat. We love feedback and ideas for new episodes. And you can visit blog.scoutingmagazine.org/CubChatLive for all our past episodes. You can see us live, except it's recorded, but it was live. Okay, see you next week.